Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble, at your service, 34 after the hour. It's good to have you back with me. It's good to continue to be with you. And those of you who just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. Doug Stives is with us, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it doesn't get any better than when I go from a patent attorney to a CPA. That's just about as exciting as it gets. If you think I don't have, broadcast courage to go from a patent attorney to a CPA. You know, you know for sure. Doug is our good friend and has been a member of our Brain Trust for years now, almost a decade. He's a senior partner with Kirchen and Company and professor of accounting at Monmouth University, and he's especially our good friend. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, and I understand the next hour you're going to have an actuary do a whole hour.
You know, when you talk about intellectual property, it's I love doing it. I love talking about intellectual property because it's important. But it's sometimes you realize why some professions don't have groupies, right?
I told you before, Jim, we have roadies, not
roadies,
groupies.
Not groupies. That's exactly right.
They carry us around.
Doug, we're coming up on some tax dates, aren't we?
Yeah, some major ones. One next week, and then the big deal a month from now.
Yeah. And you'll be happy to know, Doug, that I actually, and this is a first, I actually think that maybe this has never happened before in the history of the U.S. tax laws. I actually am going to file my business tax return on time.
Oh, please don't do that.
Yes. I have it ready. Should I wait?
I think I've talked on this show before, Jim. I put my returns on extension.
You always do, yeah.
I file in October, which is the last minute that you can file an individual return, at least. The corporate return you can push out till September.
Right.
I do it for lots of reasons, and the one that probably people think I'm crazy out there, but I'm a big believer. I like to be at the end of the line when they're picking out people.
You've said this before. You actually think that you gain an advantage with regard to being audited by waiting.
I don't think. I'm convinced that just think about it. There are, 70 million taxpayers in line, and if I'm at the very end and the government is not noted for their crack efficiency, okay?
Send all your letters to Doug Stives, ladies and gentlemen.
That's it. And I keep shooting my mouth off. One of these years the IRS is going to say, let's go see what this guy's up to.
They listen sometimes. I think they listen just to see what I'm up to here.
I'm glad, Doug. They do. Frankly, I have nothing to hide or I wouldn't talk this way.
I know.
But I'm convinced that you lower your probability. That doesn't mean you should forget about April 15th. And I'm pleading to some of your audience is leave your CPA alone. This year, documents have been later than ever. We're had a very late start for tax season.
Mm-hmm.
And I had people calling here yesterday, roughing up my secretary. Oh, I have to get in. Our appointments are just completely sold out, and we're going to put you on extension, and maybe we'll have a quick meeting with you to see what you should send with your extension. And people panic. Oh, they're going to show up and take my first appointment. The IRS
people are frightened of the IRS, aren't they?
Well, we like that a little bit because that's good for business. But to be honest with you, they really don't care when you file your tax return. They just want you to pay the tax.
Yeah.
And if you send your money in with your extension and you file your tax return like I do in October, knowing that I'm overpaid at that point, mm-hmm. apply the overpayment to 2007, I'm here to tell you the IRS doesn't really care. In fact, it slows their workload down a little bit. If everybody bombed them on April 15th, they would sink.
Yeah, it would implode, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the other thing they don't want you to do.
We should try that one year.
Oh, goodness sake. the thing that the IRS will tell you if you ask them is they really don't want you to file an incomplete return or one that you don't have all your mm-hmm. information. They don't like you to do an amended return. So we have a lot of clients that are waiting for what you're familiar with, Jim, a Schedule K-1
right.
partnership, an LLC mm-hmm. or an S-Corp. And what the IRS has told us bluntly is, please don't file until you have all your K-1s. Put yourself on extension. And then when you file the return the first time, it's complete, and you don't have to come back with an amended return. They don't like amended returns.
The extension is a tool that benefits everyone, doesn't it?
Oh, sure. And it used to be you had to send it in and you had to have a reason. Now it's automatic. It's a little form about the size of a bank deposit ticket. It doesn't even have a signature line on it.
Can't you do some of it online? Isn't there one of them?
You can do the extension totally electronically on the IRS website. Absolutely.
For corporate and personal?
Yes, sir.
And that's new, though, right? I mean, you'd be able to do that. That's new.
Yeah. And anyhow, that's the way we do it. Everything is electronic. Now, if you're not an electronic filer, you can't just do it on your own PC. But worst case, you print out the extension forms and you put them in the mail and you're
on. But you don't even have to sign it, do you, anymore?
No.
You don't have to sign it, folks. Just send it in. Give yourself a break. Cut yourself some slack. Cut the IRS some slack. You know how much we like to help those guys out. We love those guys. 22, we'll be right back with Doug Stives, CPA. Stay with us.
I spent a lot of money and I spent a lot of time.
Welcome back. It's 17-2. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out. Use it to your advantage. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you in. Come on in. The water's fine, and so is the information and all the good stuff there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and our blog. We'll send it to you, or you can come and get it. You can get it right there on the homepage at smallbusinessadvocate.com, or you can go to jimsblog.biz. Doug Stives is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's CPA, certified public accountant. Every small business owner should have one, I think. And he's a senior partner with Kirchen & Company. And that's Kirchen.com. Is that right, Doug?
That's it.
C-U-R-C-H-I-N.com. It's not your grandfather's CPA website, folks.
We hope it is, actually.
Doug, we were talking about filing the returns or filing an extension and how easy that was. That was the last thing. What do we need to know? Is there any last-minute tax planning we can do for 06?
Well, yeah, a good question. I snickered a little bit there. I mean, you can't go back and decide that you want to show more or less income or
right. But that ship has sailed, hasn't it?
Well, except that what we do, I was with a client yesterday who, has a successful business and showed more profit than ever. But I asked him, I said, do you spend any money that you don't run through your business checkbook? And he says, oh, sure. He said, for example, he has a business vehicle that's legitimate. And he says, I buy all my gas for cash. Well, we're depreciating his truck on the books and some of the repairs. So we sat down and figured out, based on his mileage, how much he probably spent for gasoline last year. He hadn't thought of that. And then we talked about, well, is there anything else you buy? Oh, yeah, I buy the guy's coffee. I do this. I do that. Supplies for the office, and I never put in for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, we add some of those things in, and that's not money that he is spending. Now he spent it last year. But the main thing, to really answer your question directly, is retirement plan contributions. As you well know, you can make a 2006 contribution, start at the low end, to an IRA up until April 15th coming up and deduct it on your 2006 return, if you qualify. If you have a corporation or you're in a sole proprietorship or anything in between, Jim, as you well know, too, you can do a SEP IRA. You might qualify for a simple plan. You can set some of these things up, such as a SEP IRA, right up until the time you file your tax return, even if you're on an extension.
How about HSAs, health savings accounts?
Well, it's a little late for 2006.
You would have had to have had it in place. You would have had to have started that in 2006, wouldn't you?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think you recall I'm a big fan of HSAs.
Yep.
We have one here at our firm. It's saving us tons of money, and I mean that sincerely.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone talks to me about that now, the earliest we could set it up would be, at this point, probably the month of April for 2007.
But go ahead and get started on it, though.
Oh, the deduction is monthly.
I mean, never mind the tax deduction. The fundamentals of an HSA, a health savings account, are good on many levels.
And it's getting better. Right in December, Congress did some last-minute legislation which made it easier and even more beneficial to do a health savings account. And I know there are people listening that have small businesses that say, what's an HSA? Well, the best advice we'll give you is go talk to your health insurance professional, but be aware that some of those folks are really not up to date on HSAs, or they
not everyone is, and not every company who provides HSA coverage understands how to actuarially price their HSA. So get more than one price.
Well, they also don't promote them because it cuts out the amount of premiums you're sending them.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. And you know, I've found some, what I would say, not so scrupulous insurance people here in our state that are saying, oh, HSAs are a dumb idea. Well, yeah, because it cuts down the amount of premiums you're paying and cuts out the commissions that they earn. The honest people will say to you, let's sit down and look at it both ways. Final shot on HSAs, Jim, is the first year it probably won't save you money, but if you've got a healthy group and a healthy family participating, we found it just saves a ton of money.
Can you talk to us about the employee-assisted HSA?
Employer-assisted, I meant to say.
Well, we do that.
You hit it right on the head. We do that here. When we went from just your traditional $1,000 deductible...
Individual HSA.
Yeah, well, what we've done with, we've set up the individual HSAs for our people here. It's voluntary. Some people have stayed in the old plan for their own particular reasons. But here's the point, is we as the employer can, and in our case, do pay not only the health insurance premiums, but we also make a contribution on behalf of our participating employees into their HSA.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you're talking about.
Yes, it is.
And
that's an adjustment that the law has, that's been made in the law to allow employers to do that more effectively.
Yeah, and you know, just a quick example. I have a single guy here. When I talked to him about going into our HSA, he's a healthy young guy, about 26 years old. And he said, Michael, you know, you're going to come into this thing, it's going to save you money. He says, well, it's going to save the firm money, too. And he says, aren't I somehow getting the short end of the stick? And I said, what, the savings to the firm, you know, we sat down and figured it out, right, with a calculator and a piece of paper. And instead of saving us whatever it was, $200 a month or something, and I said, I'm going to put that in, the firm is going to put that in, and it's tax deductible from our firm as a fringe benefit, right directly into Michael's HSA.
Mm-hmm.
And he can do what he wants with that. He can use it for medical expenses. He can just take it out and spend it if he wants to pay tax and a penalty on it.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't saved any money because we didn't want to cheat our employees. But
right.
You know, globally, it's saving our little group here a ton of dough.
And see, that's a different aspect to the original HSA when employers were not allowed to make those contributions. With the newest wrinkle of HSAs, if I'm not mistaken, Doug, it's the newest one. That is what Doug was just saying, and that's where employers can actually contribute and deduct contributions to HSAs.
Well, actually, the very latest wrinkle that just passed in December a couple of months ago is if you have a flex spending account, which I know some of the listeners out there have in their small businesses, if you're going to switch from that setup to an HSA, you can take money that's left in the FSA and put it into your employee's HSA to get things started.
How about that, folks? It's a new world. It's the 21st century. Finally, slowly but surely, the tax laws are coming around, getting us out of the 20th century and into the 21st century. Very good. Tim Till, stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with Doug Stives, certified public accountant, professor of accounting at Monmouth University there in New Jersey, the Garden State of New Jersey, and senior partner with Kirchen & Company out of Red Bank, New Jersey. Doug, what are some other things that we need to know about as we enter the tax filing period?
Well, a couple of things I jotted down here. The one we've had the most number of questions about, which is laughable, but this telephone excise tax refund.
Yeah.
There was an article on one of my websites yesterday that this is the largest refund program in history.
Huh.
They're expected to refund $15 billion of telephone excise tax.
Wow.
that the IRS illegally collected over the last couple of years. It's not on the forms. It's in the instructions. Anybody that uses any software from TurboTax on up or down, it picks it up. It's basically a $40 refund or $40 credit.
Wow.
I plead with people, don't even think about trying to do it individually. You know, you can go back through your phone bills and pull out the excise tax.
Spend $140 trying to get your $40 back.
Take your spouse or your girlfriend or whatever out for a beer. Forget about doing it on your own. It's insane. Take the $40 credit and be done with it. Other things is the energy credit. If you did anything to your house or your business for that matter. Individuals, even on their personal residence, qualify for up to $500 credit if you did something like insulation or put an energy-efficient HVAC system in your home. Again, that's in the instructions and their forms on it. A little complicated, but just make people aware of it. AMT is rampant this year, Jim. The alternative minimum tax. More people than ever are being caught in.
Are you seeing it in your filing, in your work?
More than half of our clients are caught up in it.
Golly.
No question about it.
What income level do you have to get into to have AMT?
In general, if your total income, you know, everything combined for husband and wife, whatever, starts to hover around $100,000, and you live in an expensive state like where we live, where we pay ridiculous property taxes and high income taxes, you will be an AMT, no question about it. Say more than half of our clients are there. It's not going away. I have people every day saying, explain it to me, and I just basically tell them how to do it. It's unfair, but you can't fight it.
Criminal. AMT is criminal.
Well, Congress knows that. Everybody that's advised the president and all the committees in Washington that write the tax law, they know they have to do something about it, but they simply can't afford to get rid of it. It raises too much revenue, Jim.
But it raises revenue illegally, in my opinion. I mean, it's a law that, and I'm going to get off my soapbox. I'm sorry, folks, but this is a tax that was passed when we could when people could take certain deductions. They're no longer available.
That's right.
And it should never have been. It should have been ended in 86 with their Tax Reform Act of 86.
What they're going to do, you're going to hear it for the first time nationally now from Doug Stives, is what I think they're going to do is what you just led into. They're not going to, you know, they'll eventually get rid of the AMT, but then on the regular tax, there'll be so few deductions you can take, because they're going to, I think, really take away some of our deductions later this year. Watch.
Like what?
Well, for example, they'll tell you can only deduct your mortgage interest if your income is under a certain level. I see that coming. Property taxes are not deductible under the AMT, so what they'll do, again, if your income is over a certain level, they'll phase those out. They'll basically take some of the features of the AMT and blend them into the regular tax computation, then they'll quietly snuff out AMT. Actually, they won't quietly make a big hoopla about it, but then you go do your regular tax and find out some of your deductions are dead and gone. This won't be without controversy, believe me. You know, the banking
law. What you're saying is it'll just shift it from one place to the other. Of course, when it does shift, at least it won't tick everybody off.
Well,
AMT does.
It will be politically acceptable. They'll cleanse it so that it looks that way.
Yeah.
Which is sad but true.
But God forbid that they would actually say, why don't we have revenue excess, which they, as you know, they actually do now have more revenue than they've ever had before. Instead of saying, why don't we just collect less revenue, let's end the tax, they would never do that, would they?
No, not going to happen. Not going to happen. Because, and again, I don't side with the politicians at all, and I know you and I have similar political views, but you don't get reelected if you start knocking out programs. And the minute they say, well, we're not going to raise as much tax, we've got to cut some spending.
Well, I'll tell you, though, I think there's an opportunity, a window of opportunity to get elected or reelected by pledging to kill the AMT.
I agree, except then they got to raise the revenue somewhere else, otherwise.
But I don't care. You know, you and I don't care about that. That's their problem. But
right.
But anyway, hey Doug, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
It's always a pleasure. And who's on the next hour? Funeral directors?
No. It doesn't get any better than CPAs.
Well, we'll do another hour then.
We'll do it again, but we'll have to do it another time. Thanks, Doug, for being here. Good job today.
See you next time. Thanks for putting up with me.
Doug Stives, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best, as you know. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every member of our military around the world standing a post on our behalf. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you have them in your prayers. If you're like me, you're very proud of them. God be with them. God bless them.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.